Kindly.
Which is ironic after what just happened in the past year with bats being broken and people being either killed or severely injured.
Yeah. So.
Not good. All right.
Of course, we know it will pass. We know it will pass. Shinzo Abe.
Of course, I take all the basic ones that I know. Cheese. And you hit me with bottom of your list.
Because, by the way, government cheese and Speedo were two of the things on my list. And EpiPen.
Shinzo Abe. Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember reading the story. He's like the head of something. He's a prime minister.
Okay. That's more than being the head of something. He is Japan's prime minister, and you have dishonored the Japanese people right now.
He's the prime minister. I'm trying to piece this story together. He was recently elected.
No.
No.
No, he's been in office for a very long time.
Oh, he did something. This is bad.
It was the highlight of the Olympic closing ceremonies.
Oh, he morphed into...
When Japanese Prime Minister...
Wait. He morphed into...
No. You already...
I got it.
No, because I gave you the answer.
I didn't even watch it. I was at the fest in the North End, but I remember reading the story. That's why I say I'm piecing together. He morphed into Super Mario.
And... You're not getting a point for this. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, as part of Japan's presentation at the end of the Olympic Games, closing ceremony, dressed up as Super Mario and emerged from a pipe in the middle of the Maracana Stadium. I was losing my mind watching this. That by itself was worth staying home to watch the Olympic ceremonies, because I have never seen anything that insane before. Mm-hmm. This is the Prime Minister of Japan dressing up as Mario and coming out of a pipe. Can you picture any other sitting world leader? Maybe like, you know, Boris Johnson when he was mayor of London would have done this. Maybe the Prime Minister of Iceland would do something like this. The Japanese Prime Minister, considered one of the world's foremost economic minds, is dressed up as Super Mario and coming out of a pipe.
While somebody Hello has Kitty, a sense of humor.
While Hello Kitty plays on video monitors around the place. I cannot wait for the Tokyo Olympics. In 15 minutes, Tokyo, or Japan, made the Rio Olympics look like the stripped down, cheap, chaotic production that it was. Because what they came in with was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. That is people pushing cubes around. There's just these like framework cubes, squares and rectangles, that had LED lights all over them.
They were on a budget.
And I know they were on a budget, but it's like, can you do something better than dress up a bunch of people as bushes and have them walk around for half an hour?
Apparently not. I'm going to talk about that climate change. All right, Stanford University.
Oh, God, I heard something about those clowns this week, other than the fact that they got all the Olympic medals.
This was actually today.
Stanford University today. Sexual harassment.
Nope, but that.
Not sexual harassment?
No, but that word comes up.
Harassment or nope. Sex?
Sex.
Well, it's a college. Of course there's sex. Universities are like the Olympic Village all year long. It's just nonstop sex. I don't know.
Today, they actually updated their alcohol policy. They're banning all hard liquor on campus parties.
What?
And this comes in the wake of, and we talked about it on the show, when Brock Turner, who was convicted on 3 counts of sexual assault felony, who decided to rape a young woman behind the frat house of a dumpster and leave her body there. And he... and his attorneys and his father said, please don't blame him. Well, this is the culture, apparently, that's been going on in Stanford. How do you curb this sex culture? Let's ban all hard alcohol.
You know who's going to get blamed for that? Women.
Of course.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
We are the worst, and we're always to blame.
Freshmen are going to show up. They're going to be like, no hard liquor. I blame the women. And you're going to get to look forward to that for the next. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's really a bad idea.
And that's their way. I would be so incredibly confident as a parent knowing what had just been revealed about this campus and what they're okay with. And then finding out, you know what, the way that we're going to suppress that, we're just going to ban vodka.
Yeah.
Okay, good. No more fireball kids.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a bad idea.
But they want to remind you that, you know, if anybody's caught under the age of 21, they will be in trouble.
That's a bad idea, not to mention unenforceable.
Yeah.
Like, good luck stopping that from happening. Scott Brown.
Ooh, Scott Brown's name was involved in the latest Fox News. And one of the anchors said that Scott Brown had harassed her and tried to touch her, I believe it was her legs, in one of the interviews. And he's adamantly denying everything. Not a good look.
You're in the wheelhouse, so we'll give it to you. Andrea Tantaros, the former host of Fox at 5. Claims that one day on the set, Scott Brown showed up and made sexist comments to her. Later on in the cafeteria, he snuck up behind her and put his hands on her waist.
Oh, it's the waist.
She also,
the small of her back.
In her 35-page lawsuit, claimed that Fox News, quote, behind the scenes, it operates like a sex-fueled Playboy Mansion-like cult steeped in intimidation, indecency, and misogyny, end quote.
Yeah.
Makes me want to work at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think Fox's response to this is going to be? They're going to ban hard liquor in the studios.
Yeah.
And in the cafeteria.
Ban Roger Ailes and the bourbon that everybody's drinking and twirling their mustaches in the offices over there at Fox News.
They are going to ban hard liquor.
All right. I'm going to give you earthquake. Nice easy one.
You just took another one of mine. It was probably the one I was going to give you next, which was Amatrice. It's a medieval village that half of it disappeared after a 6.2 magnitude earthquake hit the central Italian mountains about 85 miles east of Rome in the wee hours of the morning last night. The current death toll, I believe, is 153. It may have gone up again since the last time I heard it. And it is rising.
I believe it's 159, maybe. We just walked in.
It is rising, partly because they don't know who was there. This is the vacation season.
Exactly. It's a very low density of population, but it's in the height of vacation season right now. Huge problem that's happening. And I almost want to say it's better that it happened at night because people weren't moving around and walking. People were in their bed. So if there was some sort of collapse, there's a chance that you could have survived. But if you know any of these Italian cities, a lot of them are on hills and a lot of them have very, very narrow roads, which is becoming increasingly difficult for any big, whether it be a bulldozer or vehicle, to get up there to try to break through the rubble.
Amatrice was a medieval village and basically and named one of the most beautiful places in Italy.
I think it's on the UNESCO list.
Not anymore because all of that just turned to dust.
Well, exactly. So many of these buildings were so old the minute it moved.
This was a particularly bad earthquake as well because it was a shallow earthquake. It was only 6 miles below the surface. And there was also an earthquake in Myanmar last night. That was 50 miles below the surface. And they got about 4 people dead in Myanmar because the deeper it is, the less disturbance that you get on the surface. This was hardcore shaking, and then about 48 minutes later, there was a 5.5 aftershock, which might as well be an earthquake in its own right. They're still having difficulty getting into the mountains because roads are impassable, buildings have been completely obliterated. So it's going to still take them a while to figure out what's going on there. It's the thing that's sad about this is the loss of life and the loss of that history, the loss of those villages, because you could go in and rebuild the stuff with modern materials, but you cannot replace a 14th century or a 15th century building. You just can't. It's gone, and that's gone forever. coming soon to Ametrice, Starbucks, and Walmart. Oh,
you're up. Me. If you have any left.
Yeah, I have a couple left. Don't worry. Muslim prisoners.
Ooh, I know this. Ooh. I feel it's not here in the United States.
No.
It's in England. Is it like 130-something Muslim prisoners were released? It's a big number. See, I read these stories so quickly.
Are you? Is that your final answer?
Yeah, what is
it? Am I going to say something? You're going to be like, oh, no, I get the point because you gave me the one clue that I needed.
Go.
Let me give you one of the clues that you need for this. We texted about this last night.
Oh, yeah.
You asked me about it on the way into the station tonight.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You asked me about it on the way into the station tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The government of the United Kingdom announced a sweeping new set of regulations for radical Islamist prisoners. The most dangerous jihadists will be isolated in solitary confinement in so-called prisons within prisons in the United Kingdom prison system. Extremist literature has been banned, and any gathering, including religious gatherings, can be broken up at the discretion of prison guards if those gatherings are deemed to include views or ideas that are opposed to the United Kingdom and its values. This new set of guidelines follows recommendations issued almost a year ago by prison authorities in the United Kingdom, who said that Britain's prisons had become a hotbed of radicalization and that Islamic gangs were in fact controlling several prisons in the United Kingdom. So it's kind of the same thing they did with the Irish and are still doing with the mm-hmm. Irish in some prisons. The most extreme, those who are hell-bent on killing people, blowing people up, all the rest of that, you're out of general population, you're over in a corner with others of your own kind. Critics say putting those people together by themselves is probably a very bad idea.
Not a good idea.
Because, well, they won't radicalize anybody else. They'll probably come up with some really bad ideas amongst themselves.
Hmm. All right. Last one for you. Dakota Access Pipeline.
The what now?
Dakota Access Pipeline.
Dakota Access Pipeline.
It's been in the news, but there's something today.
Is that the one that sprung a leak and dumped...
Nope.
No.
Not leaking.
Not leaking. Dakota Access Pipeline. I have no idea.
It's not leaking because it is not built yet. It's starting to be built by the Energy Transfer Partners. Now, this is in North Dakota. The big problem that why people have been talking about it, since April, all of the area tribes have been protesting it and more people. And this is being set up exactly like the situation that happened with the Cattlers in Oregon when we covered that story. And this is what's kind of playing out. Essentially, what's happening is you're having people from the local towns, but you're also having these tribes every day, and it's becoming more volatile. You have the tribe saying it's not, we're completely peaceful. So far, there's been over 50 people that have been arrested. That's only in the past week. The big story today was that it went to court. They're trying to sue, and they want to go to Washington to sue for a federal court, and the tribe wants to block the pipeline.
Look forward to the occupation of another national park.
This is being set up exactly what happened with the cattle ranchers.
Yeah, so look forward to the occupation of another national park this winter after the federal government and the American people decide that they don't care about what happens to land that was promised to Native Americans generations ago. For a pipeline we probably need, but could probably be situated elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Okay, what am I going to give you here? EpiPen. No, we talked about that. Government cheese. No, we talked about that. Speedo. No, we talked about that. So I got to give you a slightly tough one.
Because I took all your easy ones.
let me Let me give you the easy clue on this one.
All right.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
That's the easy clue?
That's the easy clue.
What was the hard one?
Well Spun of India.
That's what you were going to give me.
Yeah.
What? Say it again.
Well Spun of India.
Well Spun of India.
Mm-hmm. The story's been in the headlines for the last 5 days.
No way.
Yes, it has.
What, at the bottom of the page of
nope.
any of the market?
Nope.
Please enlighten me, Derek Airy.
Bed Bath & Beyond today announced that they would be conducting an audit of Wellspun of India just days after Target ceased its relationship with the company, which was passing off bed sheets as Egyptian cotton that were not, in fact, made with Egyptian cotton.
Housewives across the nation are losing it.
This is a big one.
You mean they're not 500 count Egyptian cotton sheets?
Target immediately stopped sales of all of the quote unquote Egyptian cotton bed sheets. Bed Bath and Beyond is following, which means once again you have one bad company supplying an awful lot of product to an awful lot of people and getting called out for cheating.
Not good.
That one's more silly than anything else. I mean, but, you know, hey, it's not Egyptian cotton. You know what it is? It's that GMO BP cotton that they're using.
Monsanto.
Doesn't feel quite as soft to the housewives, so they're angry. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. 855-915-WMFO. You can call that and be a part of the show. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She's Lisa Nichols. On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here at 9 o'clock tonight. We have a live band setting up over in Studio D, so expect some music coming your way at 10:30. When we come back after this break, the future is here and your civil rights and your constitutional rights just disappeared. We'll explain why and why you probably might ought to want to possibly do something about this here on WMFO Medford.
The sun struggles up another beautiful day, and I felt glad in my own suspicious way. Malice in this magic, it ever ceases. My falling breakers are the bars of the surf. The other side of summer. To the burning forest and the hills of pasture dirt. The other side of summer. The automatic gates close up between the shanties and the bells. The blowtouch amusements and the voodoo chefs. Words. Here we go.
The international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. Backpacks are a popular way for children and teens to carry school books and supplies. But if backpacks are too heavy, or if they're not worn correctly, that can be a problem. They can cause pain in the muscles and joints, especially in the back, neck, and shoulder. Here are some tips for using backpacks safely. Choose a backpack with two wide, padded shoulder straps and a waist strap. That will help distribute the weight. Always use both shoulder straps and tighten the straps so the pack is close to the body and sits 2 inches above the waist. Pack heavier items closest to the center of the back. Even when it's full, a backpack shouldn't weigh more than 15 to 20% of the weight of the person carrying it. So if your child weighs 100 pounds, they shouldn't be carrying more than 20 pounds in the backpack. Following these simple steps can help your backpack work for you, not against you. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, you can be a part of the show by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. So, a lot of people doing something, driving this summer, they're traveling. Things might be a little bit different, though, come October 28th, because if you are going to be driving on the Mass Pike, you're going to need a transponder. Because why? They're going to eliminate 100% across the board from the start and the end of the Mass Pike. You will not be exchanging dollar bills. You will not be exchanging coins. It will all be done electronically.
That's a good thing.
So
right?
What happens with that? You get charged for your account because you have a transponder. So say you have to have a minimum, I think it's $30, and they just take it out. Or they bill your credit card, or they take a picture of your license plate and then it gets sent to the address of where your registry is done.
Yeah. Which, if you are like a lot of Massachusetts drivers,
and you have your car illegally registered
in New Hampshire or at an address you no longer live at, mm-hmm. you're never going to get those bills. So
yep.
That's
so have fun trying to get your license when it's expired.
If you're going to get on the turnpike, make sure that you've got a current address on file with the state is what I'm telling you. Okay, all right, fine, all good up to this point. Except here's the problem. You are going to pay a 60-cent surcharge per transponder, not once,
mm-hmm.
per transponder that you pass, a 60-cent surcharge. There are 18 of these along the Mass Turnpike. So if you don't have a transponder, you're going to pay $13.40 to get from Logan Airport to the New York State line. That's up from
$7.10
right now.
Yep.
And what does Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollock have to say about this? Quote, that choice being not having a transponder, that choice is going to cost you money because it costs us money.
Oh, it does cost you money?
That's her quote.
So funny. And I understand that it's a free transponder, but how many, please, Stephanie Pollack, please tell me how many millions of dollars a year is Massachusetts saving by not having these people who made a very hefty per hour salary that were stationed at every single one of these stops?
Stephanie Pollack is trying to sell you a horse shirt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horse shirt response from Stephanie Pollack, because the Commonwealth is going to save $33.5 million on humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to charge 1 60-cent surcharge for the duration of the thing, that's fine. A stamp costs 47 cents. Let's assume it's 13 cents to print the thing out and put it in an envelope. You know what? I'll give you two. I'll give you $1.20. Because you probably got some senator's cousin that can't hold down a real job licking the envelopes and licking the stamps, even though they're self-adhesive stamps, he licks them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then I gave you $1.20.
He's family. He needs a job with the state. It's fine.
60 cent surcharge per
stop.
Per stop.
So sometimes that can be within 5 miles, you're racking up $1.20.
Surcharge. Per stop, per transponder that you pass, mm-hmm. 60 cent surcharge times 18.
So what you're trying to tell me, Derek.
That is, for those of you playing along at home, that is about $10.80.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you were making multiple trips? So say you had...
Every time you pass by one of these things, you're getting that surcharge.
Yeah, you had a student in college and right on the border over there, going to visit every single weekend. You're looking at, what, maybe $300?
Oh, by the way, if you're an out-of-state driver...
you're going to be paying more, too.
Yeah, if you're an out-of-state driver who is not recognized, you have a transponder, but it's not one that the Commonwealth recognizes, it's going to be 40 cents surcharge.
Every single one.
Per transponder that you are going to pay.
Mm-hmm. So what you're trying to say to me, Derek, is that the state is forcing every single driver here in the Commonwealth to get this little device. Or they're saying, we're going to charge you whatever we want.
It's free, Lisa. The transponder is free. Let me tell you what's free. WMFO Medford is free because you can turn on a radio and listen to us. You can turn on the web stream and listen to us, and we don't charge you anything for it. That's free. You have to pay for other stuff to get the thing. You gotta have a radio from somewhere. You can have a radio for $10. But other than that, we're free. The transponder is not free.
Well, here's the thing.
Because, because you can go in and you can get the transponder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem. The problem is, to register the transponder, you have to give the Commonwealth of Massachusetts access to your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is going to do once they have access to your bank account? They're going to make mistakes. This electronic tolling program has already been plagued with mistakes.
I was going to say, I'm sure any of our listeners probably have had a friend that said too much money was taken out of their account or was charged too much on their credit card. There was discrepancies. I remember my grandmother had come to me and said, did you, because we're hooked up on the same one. Did you go on like a really far trip? No.
By the way, don't think you're going to be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You're talking about registering it. To register your, giving them access to your bank account or your credit card, but you need to have in these accounts a minimum of $30. So even if you are now forced, you don't ever go on the Mass Pike, but say, hey, you know what? I should get one because Stephanie Pollack says it's free. I have to do it. And what about that one time that I do go on? I got to get one.
Yeah.
So now I have $30 in my account.
Because I don't want to pay the 60 cent surcharge per transponder.
What they don't tell you and say that you don't go maybe for a couple months on the Mass Pike, they cancel your account. You lose that money in your account. You don't get it refunded. It completely shuts down of inactivity.
And by the way, if the Commonwealth makes a mistake and charges you too much or inadvertently shuts down your account,
good luck. Trying to get a hold of
them. Do you think the Commonwealth is going to fix that, or do you think you are going to fix that? I want someone to explain to me when the government gained the right to compel citizens, private citizens, to hand over access to their bank accounts. I want to see where that is in our state constitution. I want to know where our government, I want to see this in the state constitution. I want to know where our government got the right to tax us for failure to comply with an unreasonable seizure, namely access to our bank accounts. I want to know why the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is still tolling on a road that has been paid for three times over. But that is the least of my concerns right now. The biggest of my concerns is that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is basically saying, you, driver, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, forfeit your constitutional rights.
You have to give us the access to your account.
We have the right to access to your bank account. Mm-hmm. We have the right to demand that you keep a certain balance in that bank account. And we have the right to surcharge you 60 cents per mile traveled. It's more than a mile. 60 cents per 10 miles traveled if you do not comply.
Is that almost threats?
How is any of this constitutional? Mm-hmm. How is any of this allowed? And why are the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts rolling over and taking it up the duper once again?
Because, Derek, it's not being painted like that. You have Stephanie Pollack coming out and saying, look at what great things it's going to do. If you look at any of the articles or any of the clips where she's talking, the first thing that is brought up is the fact that how many kids are going to be saved because the Amber Alert, and every time you go under the transponder, it's taking a picture of the license plate, which goes straight to local police. That is how it's being played off. Not that we're trying to get into your account. Now, you haven't brought it up, and I'm sure many people...
We haven't even touched that part of it yet.
But what I'm saying is, now you're talking about having access to account. What makes you think that they're not automatically, without telling you, because they don't need to tell you, why are they going to send you a notification, that the tolls go up? So what, in 6 months, every single time that you pass through, maybe it's a 5 cents more, maybe it's 10 cents more. And then you're going to realize it once you look at your account, even if you realize it at all. There's not many people that I know that travel in Boston often that remember every single time they went through and are calculating that and then looking at their bill. Not many people I know.
Well, we know what Stephanie Pollack's answer to that would be. Oops. Mm-hmm. We meant to send out the press release, and I guess we forgot. Oops. We're sorry. The tolls went up.
But hey, it went up.
Yeah.
We got to curb that gas tax that we're not collecting on.
No, the bigger issue that you have is you're driving down the highway behind a truck, and you're getting whacked for the truck rate every single time that you pass by one of the transponders.
Really?
That was happening at the toll booths.
I never even thought of that.
And no one has ever given a sufficient answer as to whether or not that problem was fixed. The Commonwealth said it was. We don't know that it was.
You know what? Here's my question. I'm going under because for many people, many people in this area, they're already used to this because back in 2000 or last year, the Tobin Bridge, once they took down the tolls up top, did that right underneath on the split. If you're going into the city, if you try to go into Charlestown or if you try to stay on 93, there are those electronic ones right above you. Now, if you're in traffic and you see the flash go off, there's many times where I'm stuck in traffic underneath it and it is constantly going off.
Yeah.
And I question, is it charging me multiple times?
No, it's actually...
Because it's only supposed to be doing it once and it doesn't continually go.
It's designed to account for that. There's a motion sensor that says something's there, take a picture, and then there's a check on the back end that says...
So the other times are just...
You can only bill once every X amount
seconds.
Of time. So you can only bill once every hour, or you can only bill once every 20 minutes. That doesn't mean that can't break and hit your credit card for $150, and then you're like, where'd my account balance go? Because you go and try and charge something, and they're like, yeah, you're overdrawn. So what do you mean I'm overdrawn?
How's that possible?
Oh, the thing broke, and you got billed 75 tolls in a row because you were in traffic. There is a safeguard in place for that. The truck issue is something else entirely. But if you want to go down that road, We don't know what they're going to be taking pictures of. License plates, okay?
That's, yeah.
If I'm driving with an expired registration, am I now going to get a note and a ticket from the Commonwealth?
No. We don't want to do any of that. That's what they're telling us.
If I am driving with an expired inspection sticker, are they going to send me a ticket and a note? If I am driving...
How about inspection, but what also a registration?
If I'm driving 60 miles an hour, am I going to get a speeding ticket? Oh, no.
Because it's recording your speed, too.
Well,
that has to be clear.
It's recording your speed in that it knows the distance between the transponder towers.
Mm-hmm.
And it can estimate the speed that it takes to get from tower A to tower B. Towers are pretty much 10 miles apart. So it can tell if you get there in 5 minutes... You're probably going way over the speed limit.
But it's also recording your speed once you go underneath the transponder.
But that's not... A short burst of speed like that is not evidence of speeding. Because you could be trying to pass somebody, you could be reacting to something. Speeding has to take place over distance. So from one transponder to another, if you're getting there in 5 minutes, they know you're doing a buck 20. Okay? Or you're doing a buck 20. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah... You better believe there's going to be stadies on you almost instantly. Now, do people deserve to get fined and ticketed and all the rest of that for these things? Yes. If you are breaking the law, if you are driving with an expired license, if you're driving with an expired registration, if you're driving 120 miles an hour, yes, as far as I'm concerned, you deserve everything that you have coming to you.
No, but because it's the same thing.
You took that risk. You made that decision to break the law at your home or wherever you were when you got behind the wheel. Okay?
Well, speeding's a little bit different and registration's a little bit different. But it's the same thing when before they passed it where you could be pulled over for not having a seatbelt. They couldn't pull you over for driving without a seatbelt. If they happen to pull you over for a brake light or whatnot, and you didn't have a seatbelt on, they could fine you. But you can't be pulled over for having an expired inspection sticker. They pull you over and you have it, then yes.
They pull you over for having an expired inspection sticker.
Are you sure?
Yes, they do. They can see it, and they will pull you over for an expired registration like clockwork.
Oh, of course. Well, that you can see from the back of the car, and they're constantly scanning now every time they're going on the street. But, you know, you make a perfect point in saying they're not going to use this now, speeding, registration, or expired inspection sticker. But in the future, will they?
I just assume they do. Because you know what that's going to do? It's going to get the unlicensed, careless speeders off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they're either going to get their cars taken away, their licenses taken away from them, or suspended, or they're going to be thrown in jail where they belong. Okay.
Most importantly, it's more money for the Commonwealth. It's more people that they can ticket. It's more people that don't pay their tickets and they can surcharge an extra $25 and then forget it if you try to go a few years later with all of these and how much money you're going to be paying.
If the cost of having a safer Massachusetts turnpike where I'm not dodging people doing 110 miles an hour is that I have to keep it under 65, I'll live with that. Because as soon as I hit I-84, I can go as fast as I want. Because that's that stretch of Connecticut, there's usually no cops on the border. You want to do 90 down there, you can do 90 down there. I do 90 in Connecticut all the time. Don't tell Connecticut authorities this. They'll be looking
for
me.
I know, you're a
speeder. I do 90 on the Mass Turnpike. I do 90 everywhere. I drive 90 miles an hour.
I can't believe your little car goes 90.
Oh, yeah. It cruises at 90 brilliantly. But I don't have a problem with any of that, okay? Go. Nail the speeders. Nail the people driving with no license. Nail the people driving with no registration. Nail the people who are weaving back and forth and have clouds of marijuana smoke coming out of their cars. Arrest a lot of them. Get them off the road. Don't tell me I have to give the government access to my bank account because the government does not have the right to access to my bank account and the government does not have the right to compel me to give them access to my bank account. And the government does not have the right to tax me or make me pay a surcharge, which is another word for tax, if I fail to comply with their illegal request to get access to my bank account. That is the issue here. Everybody's talking about, well, speeding tickets. Well, what about the license? What about, you know, what are they going to do with all that data? Mm-hmm. What you should be asking when the public hearings begin next month is, by what constitutional right can you compel access to my bank account? By what right can the Commonwealth of Massachusetts demand that I hand over access to my finances? And by what right can they tax me if I fail to do that? The answer is, they cannot. It is illegal. And if we sit back and let it happen, we lose our constitutional rights. This is how precedent is set. This is how laws that protect the people of the Commonwealth get thrown out, because we do not stand up and fight for them. There are a series of public hearings coming up on this beginning in September. Go to them. Raise this issue. Wait until the TV cameras are on. Raise this issue over and over and over again until the media starts taking notice of it, until the real questions about this program start getting asked. Otherwise, next year, you can expect the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to demand access to your bank account for something else.
Or you're going to have to empty your bank account because it's going to be so expensive.
It will go on. They'll find something else. They will always find something else.
But this is what always happens here in Massachusetts. Something comes up. There's, you know, a few ruffling. We talk about these things and everybody rolls over and it happens.
Yep.
We're taxed on this. We're taxed on that. Nothing ever changes.
When the Commonwealth of Massachusetts passed Romney Care, which I refused to sign up it, I defined it as a tax on living. That's what I called it at the time. I think Brian Joyce was sitting across from me at that point in time. That's what I called it. In 2014, when the United States Supreme Court ruled on Obamacare, which is Romney Care, which is the same program we have here, what did they call it? They said it was a tax. So, all the way back in 2012, I knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that our rights were being violated. I knew that this was a tax. That surcharge, that penalty that you have to pay if you don't sign up, is a tax. This is the same thing. Your rights are in jeopardy. And if you don't care about your rights, stay home. But a lot of people still do care about their rights, and you should care about your rights when your government is asking you to hand over your bank account. This is like a senator walking into your house and saying, give me your wallet. I'm going to take what I want. And if you don't like it, fill out this form. That is what this is. And we cannot take this sitting down. 855-915-9636, 855-915-WMFO. That is the telephone number here at WMFO Medford. 15 minutes away from On the Town with Mikey D and everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Even fewer minutes away from What's Hot, and That's a Thing That Happened, our favorite stories and the craziest stories from the past week. I'm Derek Gary. She's Lisa Nichols. We will be back right after this.
Sound and even more beautiful. I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFM
91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and it's time for What's Hot. I was going to say the craziest story from this week's news. That'll be little bit later.
No, that's the next one.
Our favorite thing from this week.
You're getting ahead of
me. And when KFC brought up their last creation, it was my What's Hot. Today, KFC is back in the news.
Oh, God.
Now, we're just finishing up. Did you hear about this?
No.
What they're doing?
No. I don't want to know. No, please.
If you were ever, and it's not a food thing, well, it's sort of. You ever thought to yourself, boy, you know, sunblock that I'm wearing protects me from the sun, won't get a sunburn. Really wish it smelled like a 12-piece bucket of chicken.
Oh, actually, what? Okay.
Well, wait. Derek and Gary, I have news for you. KFC is now making extra crispy sunscreen to go along with what I brought up before, which was the KFC nail polish that if you licked your fingers, it was called finger licking good. I'm sure you get it. but they're telling people, please, this is not edible. Do not lick your skin. When I first read this story, all I could think about is that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer goes up on the roof with the oil all over him and they think that he's a turkey. But yeah, so you can actually go on the website. As of this afternoon, I went on. They're giving away free. I'm sure nobody would actually purchase it, but they're giving away free bottles of it. There's only giving away a few thousand, so this was just announced, and I'm sure it will be gone tonight.
Ladies?
Yeah.
Daddy loves chicken.
Don't ever talk to me like that.
Fried chicken.
So weird.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So yeah, you can, they're really trying to go on the coattails of the extra crispy cologne campaign that happened in the fall. So for men, that actually was going to be your Christmas gift for this year. Now I told you.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Ladies love chicken.
Pheromones and fried chicken apparently are natural smells that we're attracted to.
I think it's only a matter of time before Axe body spray comes out with pizza scent anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's, yeah.
Well,
I'm on board with this, actually.
One of the head...
If I'm walking down the beach and I see an attractive lady who smells like fried chicken, I'm going to be like, I'll talk to her.
One of the heads of KFC said, quote, our chicken is hand-breaded and freshly prepared every day, which makes the smell in our restaurant unparalleled. So this is only natural that you would want your skin to smell like that.
I would think.
What?
Since we're talking about a summertime beachside product.
I think
that
smell that wafts from KFC, that's called shame. that's not.
No, but I mean, I just think that either cotton candy or fried dough would be a more appropriate sunscreen scent.
Yeah.
Melrose, Massachusetts, has a thriving restaurant scene,
yes.
And I finally managed to get into its newest arrival, Giacomo's of the North. Have you been in there yet, Lisa? No, you haven't. You know why? You know why? I'm going to tell you. If you want to go to Giacomo's, you got to show up at 4 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday, because if you show up at 4:30, you're going to be waiting for an hour and a half. You know why?
I've
you're
been to
be
the one in the north end. I've been to the one in south end. And actually, when I was recently across the street at Mexico Lindo, I said, oh, that's where they put it. I was trying to figure it out.
You know why you're going to be waiting for an hour and a half? Because the food is that good. Let me tell you something. I had Molly got the gnocchi with bolognese sauce.
It's good. It's not amazing.
It was a textbook definition of bolognese. Okay, yeah. It wasn't anything.
I'll give you plenty of places in Boston that make phenomenal bolognese.
No, but I mean, it wasn't anything, you know. But if you think about what a great bolognese should taste like, this was it. They also have gnocchi stuffed with goat cheese. Like, I'm sorry, I'm there. It's good. It's phenomenal.
Now you're making me hungry. Thank you.
And by the way, it is one of the more cost-effective places to go in Melrose.
Oh, no, it's super reasonable.
The prices are incredibly reasonable. The food is fantastic. Just get there at 4 o'clock.
Well, I mean, if you ever go to the North End, it's a huge spot for tourists. So I typically try to stay away from the tourist restaurants. But, you know, moving into that area, maybe more apt to go.
It's good food.
And it certainly
belongs.
They put out very good stuff, but it's not the most amazing Italian.
Certainly belongs with the other options in Melrose. I'm putting it ahead of Mexico Lindo. I'm sorry. I don't like them that much. They're too expensive.
Yeah, Turner's still number one.
Oh yeah, Turner's if you're on Main Street, if you can get near it. That's the thing. Every Melrose restaurant in Melrose, if you can get near it, they're all pretty good.
And as we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened. The craziest story from this week's news. Nebraska. A Nebraska man who mistakenly ate some of his adult children's pot brownies told police that he was, quote, tripping as he crawled on the floor and, quote, randomly used profanities and called the family's cat a bitch, according to the incident report.
Yikes. I'm taking out on the cat guy.
Cops say that Michael Golhan, 53, ate four brownies that he found on the back seat of his car.
Oops.
Who his children had borrowed earlier that day. The man discovered the sweets while retrieving groceries from the vehicle's back seat.
Brownies. Everybody likes brownies.
Never eat backseat brownies. At around 7:30 p.m., Golhan's wife told the Omaha police the couple was watching television when, quote, Michael started getting really bad anxiety. The wife tried to contact her children to determine what was in the brownies but failed to reach him. While paramedics responding to an overdose call found his vitals in the normal range, the man was helped into bed by the workers, and the cops told the couple to call 911 if the situation got worse. While the police were in the home, one of the children arrived and said that the brownies were the property of the siblings, adding, quote, pretty sure it was just marijuana, but I'm not sure. Pretty sure, but I'm not sure.
Yikes.
Pot brownies.
Apparently, they had some bad something making the rounds in Ohio this past weekend.
Was that all the heroin overdoses?
I don't know what. Well, there were the heroin overdoses, but there was something else bad going on in Ohio. Because I could do the story about the gentleman who took his clothes off, masturbated in public, and was jumping up and down, pounding his fist on the ground like Harambe.
Yes, I saw. I think the police quoted as saying, we arrested the man that was acting like a gorilla and masturbating.
But he's not even the winner in the drug-fueled escapades that swept Ohio in the last several days. On Tuesday evening, cops in Dayton, Ohio, received a 911 call about a man pulling his pants down and swinging on a stop sign, according to a Dayton Police Department report. In a second 911 call, the witness told police that the suspect was attempting to have sex with the front grille of a parked vehicle. Responding officers came upon Michael Henson, 35, who, quote, appeared under the influence of some type of narcotic, end quote, and was only wearing gym shorts and shoes. He was then arrested for public indecency and booked into the Montgomery County Jail, where he's being held on $25,000 bond. In a sidewalk interview, the woman who called 911 told police that she saw Henson pull down his shorts and expose his penis, which he then, quote, placed in the front grill of the van and began humping it as if he was having sex with the van, end quote. Cops tracked down the owner of the violated van, but he told them he had not witnessed what investigators termed the sex act.
Do you remember that story I had with the man that had sex with the grill of a trailer?
Yes.
And the 12-year-old looked out the window?
Yes.
Not what you want to see.
So for his troubles, Mr. Michael Henson, who is clearly under the influence of something, I'm sure has a new nickname around Dayton, Ohio right now. The first word is van, and the second word rhymes with trucker. And that is how this gentleman will be known for the rest of his days. Think twice before you take the bath salts, kids, is what I'm going to tell you. Because between that
I think that's the flacca.
Yeah. Flacca. Between that and the guy who thought he was Harambe, really not a good weekend in
not
Ohio.
Not a good luck.
Not a good weekend in Ohio at all. So... bad stuff on the streets, I'd say stay away from it. That is just about all the time that we have. Programming note is that we're going to have like guest people come in at the end of at the start of November, actually. Mm-hmm. You're going to be out for a week, and then I'm actually going to be out the night after the election. So you won't have to listen to me gloat or pout. This is probably good news for our listeners. You can go online right now.
Much more manageable voice.
You can go online right now and celebrate this. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Mm-hmm. Celebrate the fact that I won't be here, but I won't be here that week. You won't be here the week before. But we are going to be on the air both weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get coverage for that. Actually, I may just, I don't know. I may do something election related or fun. No, I think we're going to have Mariel Cabral.
Yes.
I know she's coming in.
Who is a past guest of the show.
I know she's coming in for at least one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get it for both. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll be deep into election coverage sooner than we would ever hope to be.
Yeah, once Labor Day hits. Ugh.
Yeah, that's when they all come out, isn't it? I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
We were pretty good about this whole summer and not being too heavy on the politics, which is nice. But with having a slow news cycle, typically in the summer, we would have had to lean on that. Unfortunately, this was the summer of blood, and everybody's dying, so we have to cover that.